You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
After Charles Wang comes to California and spends many years building a cosmetic business, when the economy tanks and his business fails, he decides the only way to save his family is to return to China, the homeland he was forced to flee. But before he can do that, he must collect his children, so he sets out on a road trip across the United States to gather them up. That's how arts and culture journalist Jade Chang begins her debut novel, The Wangs Versus the World. It's published by Houghton Mifflin Harcourt. I'm very pleased it has brought her to our show today. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Are there any similarities between the Wangs and your family?
I would say that everything is emotionally true, and very little of it is actually true. But the family background is actually the same. Charles Wang, he comes from a family that once had a lot of land in China and then lost it all because of World War II, the communists, the Chinese Civil War, and
the expulsion to Taiwan.
Precisely, exactly.
And then eventually people came from Taiwan to this country.
Yes.
When the laws changed and allowed Chinese people to come to this country.
Yeah. Thanks, America. exactly. And so my parents kind of had the same
Did your parents
trajectories.
Talk much about China while you were growing up?
They did. They definitely did. Even though my parents both grew up in Taiwan, but they, you know, I think they felt very much attached to mainland China still.
Well Taiwan at that point, after Chiang Kai-shek came and brought so much of the government and
and
like-minded people, it suddenly became
a little mini nation.
And the poor Taiwanese were shut
out. That is also very true.
That's
the other side of the story that, doesn't get told enough.
Have you been to China?
I have.
What about your parents? Have they been back?
I actually went back with them. So it was all of our first time there.
But this was China, not Taiwan?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. How does Charles Wang get into the cosmetic business?
So Charles Wang's father works at a factory that produces urea. And so urea is essentially a chemical urine.
It's the first molecule that was ever synthesized. Did
Is
you
that
know
true?
That?
Yeah. I did not know that.
Yeah, I had a biology teacher who told a joke. His joke was, he said, "Urea, I have found it." But it's urine, in effect.
Yeah.
We're putting the equivalent of urine into our cosmetics?
Yes, we are. I mean, we use it in a lot of things, and it is, in fact, used in a lot of cosmetics.
And what does it do in cosmetics?
You know, I don't know the answer to that. But I should look that up.
Yeah, well, it's a colorless crystalline compound, the main nitrogenous breakdown product of protein metabolism in mammals. And so I guess it's just a natural ingredient for cosmetics. So how does he manage to become so successful?
Charles Wang is a... I just censored myself in real time.
And the FCC appreciates that.
Yes. Well, maybe that would have still been appropriate for radio. But, you know, Charles Wang is a guy who makes things happen, for
and he's
sure.
Making, who's he catering his makeup to?
So when he first starts out, he's actually doing private label makeup. So it's people who come to him, they want to launch their own lines. It's hotels and places like that that want to have their own branded lines. He's manufacturing all of that. And, you know, there's so many fortunes in America that are sort of not flashy fortunes that are made on that, on being the middleman. And then eventually he tries to create a line of makeup that caters to... that only caters to people of color, and that, you know, has all the potential to take off, but it loses some funding in the months right before the financial crash and ends up failing and taking the rest of his empire along with it.
Because there have been much concern for people of color that when we talk about cosmetics and so many other things, skin color, they are kind of ignored.
That is true. Less and less so now, but definitely has been true for a long time.
Was Charles chasing the American dream when he came to the United States? Is there that still that sense among the Chinese of an American dream?
I think, well, to quote Charles, you know, America thinks they invented the American dream. But who doesn't? I mean, in what world does anybody not want kind of a better life for their children and financial success and security for themselves?
Well, before the Chinese were prevented from coming here by exclusionary laws, the 19th century name for America was Gold Mountain.
Yeah, and now it's beautiful country.
Now, he gets married to a woman named Mei Li, another Chinese immigrant. What happens to her?
She actually is not an immigrant. Her family has been in America for generations. And they are, you know, denizens of American Chinatowns. We don't see her for that long in the book, but she does. She meets a spectacular and fiery end.
So he remarries soon after her death.
Yes.
To Barbara.
To Barbara, who has named herself after Barbara Streisand.
Mm-hmm. There's that whole thing in Chinese communities of having double names.
Yeah, yeah. Because you're born in China, your name is in Chinese, and then if you decide to move to America, you find yourself another name.
The United States is kind of a character in this novel.
Yeah.
The definition of wealth and success. Where does Charles Wang's love for America come from?
You know, I think in the same way that Charles Wang could have sold anything, you know, he happens to be a man who built a fortune on cosmetics. But he also, if given some other set of opportunities, some other set of resources, he could have made a fortune in some other world entirely. And so I think that he does absolutely love America, but I think he also, part of it is that he just loves any opportunity that's placed in front of him.
And although he seems very much to want to belong to America, he still keeps China in mind as his plan B, even before the business fails.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that's typical within parts of the Chinese community?
I mean, I think that it's not an either or, you know? I think that for Charles and for the children of the family, I think that they are both completely Chinese and completely American.
I used to live in Manhattan's Chinatown.
Yeah.
And it was apparent to me that a fair number of people got along without ever learning English learned very little English, while others made it a point to learn English completely and to try to assimilate as much as possible. And a lot of it had to do with jobs. If you wanted to work for the post office, you had to speak English. If you were willing to work in a restaurant in the kitchen, you didn't have to speak a word of English.
But I think a lot of it also has to do with personality, right? I mean, there are so many different ways to be a person in America. I think there are so many people who are white, whose families have been in America for generations, who were born here, who some of them are enormously curious about other cultures, and others don't want to leave their own sort of backyard, much less their own city. So in the same way, you know, in the same way, immigrants also have many different kinds of personalities.
My guest is Jade Chang, who's written a novel called The Wangs Versus the World. You've been a magazine writer and an editor, mostly young adult works. Had you always wanted to write fiction?
I ran the young adult newsletter at Goodreads, but before that I mostly wrote about arts and culture as a journalist. I have always wanted to write fiction. I've always been a big reader. I've always loved telling stories. And yeah, it was always something I wanted to do.
Have you been following the cosmetics world? Or is that something that you had to learn about when you decided to write this book?
Well, as you can see, I don't have any makeup on right now. But when I worked at, I used to work at a luxury magazine. And when I was there, one of my jobs was the beauty pages. And so I ended up being sent a lot of cosmetics. And I had just recently learned about urea. And so I read all those labels and saw it on almost every single product. So that was kind of my crash course in cosmetics and the business of it.
I mentioned earlier that he goes to pick up all of the members of the family. Mm-hmm. And they are spread across the country and doing many different kinds of things, but not necessarily things that a Chinese parent would want his kids to be doing.
Or are they? Well, I mean, some Chinese parents are happy to have their kids doing these
things. Working in the arts, everyone I knew wanted their kid to be a doctor.
You know what, though? Like, not just, these aren't just, like, so when I was in college, most of my friends' parents, and these weren't just Chinese friends, you know, most of my friends of all races, their parents kind of wanted them to be doctors and lawyers. I mean, that's just a fairly typical thing anywhere. Parents want their children to have success and security. But, you know, my parents, for example, have always been very supportive of me being a writer, being in the arts. Yeah.
Charles keeps on, has a kind of a mantra, the land in China.
Yeah.
The land in China. Laws changed in China that allowed people to come back and claim property that had been confiscated?
No, I mean, this is why it's fiction, right? It's a real pipe dream for Charles. He thinks
that the land that was confiscated from his family will be returned to him?
He thinks that he can somehow go back and claim it. In the same way that he made America give him a cosmetics fortune, he can make China give him the land back.
Did you start thinking about this book when the Great Recession began?
Yes, I did. I did. You know, when I worked at that luxury magazine, one of the strange parts of my job was to go to parties. And one of the
poor thing.
I know. But one of the parties I went to was actually, it was a celebration for the Trump Tower Dubai, which is a building that was never actually built. I don't think it ever even broke ground. And it was this lavish, over-the-top party in a Bel Air mansion with Christina Aguilera singing a cappella, Wolfgang Puck actually there preparing hors d'oeuvres and sprinkling them with 24-karat gold dust. And I remember leaving that party and just thinking, this is it. Like, this country is about to collapse under the weight of its own excess. And I also felt like this electric buzz, you know, the sense of when everything falls apart, who knows what could happen? You know, who knows what could rise up in its place? And so I really wanted to write about that time and that world.
Do you think Chinese Americans will read this book and relate to some of the family dynamics?
Yeah, but I also think that all people can read it and relate to the family dynamics.
Meanwhile, when you look at what's going on during this election, I'm sure you think back to that party. Especially the gold part.
I certainly do.
I assume you're at work on a second novel.
I am.
And no more nonfiction?
You know, I actually would still love to do, the best thing about journalism is that you get to learn about things that you would know nothing about at all. And so I definitely still would love to do some of that.
Jay Chang has covered arts and culture as a journalist and editor, recipient of a Sundance Fellowship for Arts Journalism and the AIGA Winterhouse Award for Design Criticism. And now she's written a novel called The Wangs Versus the World, which is published by Houghton Mifflin Harcourt. Thank you so much for being on our show.
Thank you for having me. This was so great.